This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
You know what I was just thinking about, Josh? I'm going to a local school on Friday to speak. I do this sometimes. People say, hey, come on, talk to our kids, our class, about your job, about life, whatever. It's great. I enjoy doing it. Thank you. And the last time I went to this school, I was literally talking to the class and my phone went off and the Sabres had fired Don Granato while I was in the middle of this. And it was a great lesson because I'm like, see? This is what we do. Like, bam, this happens. Now it's like, whoa, we got to change everything we talk about today. Kind of funny how life comes at you like that. I think yesterday was a bit of that here on WGR. Nobody knew what yesterday was going to hold until it held, right? Until it happened. And it's been kind of the talk of national talk radio, national talking heads on TV. Jeremy and Joe are still talking about it a little bit today and, you know, Jeremy explaining, you know, kind of how it happened, what happened. It's been a really interesting 26 hours, I'd say. And a lot of you are still talking about it, and that's okay. It's good. It's healthy. It's healthy to talk about and analyze the Buffalo Bills. By the way, we have not heard anything about the Sabres yet this offseason. The reason I was thinking about it was... What if I go back to this school again on Friday and the same thing kind of happens? Like, all of a sudden we hear, oh, Kevin Adams is out or in a new role or something else happens. Like, that's possible literally on this same day, right? It could happen.
If that happens, you got to, like, you got to go to that school every once in a while and just see what else can happen. You know, like, is it just the Sabres? Could something else go on? You know, like, that'd be crazy.
I'd be like, you know, we used to have a thing here. Every time Howard's away, something big happens. Then it became every time Sal's away. Then every time Jeremy's away. Every time I go to this school, something big happens, right? It could happen. It could be like that. I'm not really sure. We haven't heard anything on the Sabres and any moves or anything like that yet. That could happen this week. And then all of a sudden, the discussion starts to change here on WGR. But right now, I think the discussion is still about what occurred yesterday with, you know, Brandon Bean and Joe and Jeremy. And I think it's, again, I'm going to go back. I'm going to use the word healthy. I think it's super healthy to be in this spot for everyone that this team is at a point where we can have that kind of debate over drafting a wide receiver. Josh, you were not here, but you could imagine when we had this, but about quarterback for years and years and years, right? I mean, heck with the 2018 draft and what Brandon Bean brought up. I'm talking about E.J. Manuel in 2013. I'm talking about J.P. Lossman in 2004, which I wasn't even here for yet, right?
Yeah, like I could only imagine, because that is the position, right? Like that's... Yes, wide receiver is an important position, but quarterback, when you're having this type of heated discussions about quarterback,
yes,
that's, I couldn't even imagine being on the board for that kind of stuff. Because like yesterday, I was just like, whoa, you know, it's just that one of those things of like, wow, like this is really going on right now. You know, it's kind of jarring.
Yeah, it's great. Like to have this talk, I've heard from so many of my non-media friends and media friends. So people like personally and professionally, I've heard from people about this and like kind of their opinions. And really what's happened is it's kind of continued the discussion of, well, let's analyze this. What do they have? What do they not have? What's funny is Brandon Bean said himself on after the draft, whether it was after Thursday night or Friday night or Saturday, I don't remember, but he said like, Oh, I know what it was. It was the pre-draft press conference because I asked him specifically. First question, pre-draft press conference on Tuesday last week. I said, tell us where you are in your process right now. And he said, we're getting alignment because you're not always going to have agreements, right? So what's interesting to me is it's cool because even in their own building on whatever level, any prospect, I'm not saying wide receiver specifically, there's always going to be disagreements on players and what their projection is, what their prospect is. That's healthy. That's what happens. That's how you come and arrive at decisions. That if we all agreed, it would be a really weird world and kind of fake, I think, to be honest with you. Like, you don't want to agree on everything. I mean, I don't know about, I don't do what they do for a living and the scouts, and they're not there all year. My buddy Josh Reed from Channel 4 used a great analogy yesterday. I was talking with him about this. And I said, you know, Josh, I always take the approach of I don't know more than the NFL scouts. I might have opinions and tell you if, you know, I thought the guy was as good or not as good or whatever. I mean, whatever. But if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. If they're wrong, it matters. But I don't try to pretend because that's what they do all year. And Josh made a great analogy. He said, when it comes to the draft and bringing in players, it's like, it's kind of like buying a house where you can see it from the curb and it looks beautiful, but those are the people who go in and look at the piping and look at the plumbing and look at the walls and the drywall and all the things that in the structure of the house, right? They get that feel for it. I love that analogy from Josh Reed, WIVB TV Channel 4. That was great because it's right. And, you know, they're not going to be right all the time. In fact, they miss a lot. The Bills, the Chiefs, the Eagles, it doesn't matter. The Eagles have had a pretty good track record lately. They're not, you know, above reproach about missing. Every team does. And it's fascinating to have the discussion when you get to this time of year. And that's just on the draft. Then you get to the actual roster. And you start to talk about what they need, what they don't need, what they have, what they don't have. And I've maintained here for a while, and I still will, the Bills have a really excellent roster. One of the best in the league. It's why they don't just win because of Josh Allen. He's the main reason, no doubt, on the roster. But they have a good roster. And last year, to me, that roster failed them in critical moments, mostly on defense. Yes, the final drive on offense in the AFC Championship game didn't go great. I get it. Those are moments you can't. It doesn't always have to be black and white and choose a side on that. You could say that you know what? In that critical moment, the offense failed. It's one of the more frustrating discussions for me with fans or even other media about the Bills season last year is whose quote-unquote fault it was, meaning offense or defense. You could say Bean, McDermott, whatever. Yes, I get all that. I'm talking about when it comes down to whose fault it was. Well, look, to me, the offense did enough last year that the offense had the kind of season that every team would hope an offense has, right? Can I say that that way? They scored 30 points in 8 straight games, as Brandon pointed out. That's right. At times, it was not as pretty. At times, there were struggles. They had a little bit of a dip. But I think any NFL team would love to have the kind of offensive season the Bills had last year. For crying out loud, they had the league MVP. In a critical game, in a critical moment, they didn't make a couple plays. They're not perfect. And that definitely hurt. And I think where people are coming from the side of, you know, you need more at wide receiver, is maybe if you had that one guy, you make that one play. And I don't know if that's right or wrong. Maybe you think that's true. I mean, it was an all-out blitz the Bills didn't handle. And Josh Allen threw it up and Dalton Kincaid didn't come down with it. But would it have mattered on that play if you had Stephon Diggs from 3 years ago? I don't know. On the defensive side, however, for the Buffalo Bills in 2024, I would say, I think they did not have the kind of season they hope for or expect. They fell out of the... Now, there's a lot of different rankings you can go to and EPA and all that. I understand the analytical rankings. But in its basic form, they fell out of the top 10 on defense in both points allowed and yards allowed for the first time since 2020. To maintain a top 10 defense in both those categories for three straight years is really good and kind of unique. You don't do that much in the NFL. It's hard. But when it happens, it can be jarring. And it can cause you to react. And as well, it probably should. Because then you start to look and say, what were the reasons for that? And I think the Bills feel the reasons for that were because they did not have enough, once again, of a pass rush on the defensive line. And they didn't have enough in the secondary when it came time for them to make a change, put in a player, an injury, a depth piece in the AFC Championship game. So what did they do? Their draft reflected that. I'm looking at their roster right now, and it's stunning to see so many names already at cornerback, even before they've announced their undrafted free agents, and we get to training camp. 11. And if you count Cam Lewis, it's 12. So let's just say it's 12. Is it 10 and then 11? Hold on. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's 10 total. Sorry. And then Cam Lewis makes 11. I mean, Brandon Codrington counts. He's 12. That's why I was, counting it like that. I don't count Codrington as much, but he is a guy that you could turn to, and he's active on game day, so he's got to be able to play in a pinch because that's his position. Okay, but let's just even not count him. You're talking about 10 guys on the roster right now, 11 with Cam Lewis, and I quite frankly don't know how you're not going to keep them all. How does it shake out? What the Bills have done clearly here is, at corner at least, said, we have to really raise the floor here. Because if we have to turn to somebody in an AFC Championship game in a critical moment, we got to have better than what we had. They've also addressed defensive line. 6 new defensive linemen. Now that's counting ends and tackles, which is actually more than what you have at corner. 6 new players. Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Landon Jackson, Larry Ogunjobi, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker. They've also told you by their actions, they have to have more there. They have to have more and better. Then you go to wide receiver, where all this started and has been for a while, with a lot of you saying they need more there. They obviously don't feel that because of the things that Brandon Bean said yesterday, and I'll go back to it from what I said a little while ago. They scored close to 31 points a game, franchise record, second in the league. They scored more points than anybody in the league when you count all the playoffs and totals. And they had the league MVP. So obviously, they're scoring enough and accomplishing what needs to be accomplished as an overall group on that side of the ball. I think where people are, however, coming at it from the side of you need more isn't the floor, it's the ceiling. And I think that's where the discussion gets interesting. Because if you look at the Bills receiving core compared to the rest of the league, if you look at their top guys compared to the rest of the league, I think it's very fair to say they don't have as much there talent-wise as the rest of the league. And you need more because you have this MVP quarterback. Like, What is the thing that I hear from fans all the time? They're not giving Josh enough help. I mean, I don't like that when it's said because I don't think that's true. The guy just won the MVP. He has enough help. He's a monster in his own right. You know where his help is coming from? They keep him freaking as clean as, I don't know, squeaky clean, whatever. They keep him clean. That's one piece of help. They have a running back that had 16 rushing touchdowns. That's another piece of help. There's a lot of ways to help a quarterback other than just giving him people to throw to. The Cincinnati Bengals have given their quarterback a lot of help with guys to throw to. He gets beat up a lot, and they didn't make the playoffs last year. So if you want to take it from a Bills standpoint, from a Brandon Bean perspective, that's it right there. Like, hey, you don't just have to help this guy with guys to throw to. It's not even about, like, let's take for a second away from the actual wide receiver group and who they have. Okay. How do you help a quarterback? How do you have, when you have a guy that is best guy in the league, number two, whatever, certainly right there, right? How do you help him? And if you're the Buffalo Bills, what Brandon Bean's telling you is it's not just giving him the best wideout to throw to. It's also protecting him, having a good running game to make sure you can score in other ways other than having him drop back all the time and throw the ball. I know a lot of you don't like that. I get it. But that's their perspective and how they're coming from it. But the fans' perspective is, and what some media's perspective is, but in a critical moment, who was your guy? And when he had to make a couple plays, was there a guy that could get open? And how sustainable is it to keep doing it the other way if you don't have that guy, right? So that's why the discussion is super interesting to me. Because I think that there's room for both right there. There's room for both. And yesterday kind of turned into that. And I like the fact that we're here having a healthy discussion about it because that's what you do when it comes to sports teams. When you're passionate and you're a fan, when you're media and you analyze, you talk about what you like, what you don't like, get a pulse of the fans, what they like and don't like. And you're, again, passionate about how your team goes about it and wanting to win. Beats the hell out of wondering who the quarterback is, I'll tell you that. When we had a thing here, the who's, you see, this is what I was trying to remember. Do you remember the who's Dak? Yeah, that's it. Who remembers the who's Dak? So I don't know if Matt Collar came up with it or not. I could give him credit if he did, but I know Jeremy was a part of it. Jeremy is incredibly creative with this stuff. So instead of, you know, the Dow Jones, then you know the NASDAQ. Right? The NASDAQ ends with D-A-Q, right? NASDAQ, N-A-S-D-A-Q. Back in 2014, I think it was, maybe, Jeremy came up with the who's Dak, who's the quarterback.
That's awesome. I had no idea that was the
thing. And it was stock. Whose stock is highest?
Oh, okay. Right.
I think it was 2015, actually. Tyrod Taylor, when he signed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally, I would come on and do my segment. And I think at that time, I'm trying to remember if Joe was still here too. He's a beat reporter. But I remember going on the radio and talking about like training camp, and we would have to do the stock on the who's Dak stock. It was like the NASDAQ. That was great. Folks, we are not doing the who's Dak anymore. We're debating if the guy who actually is the who's Dak, Josh Allen, has enough at wide receiver, which is a way better spot to be in. Much more fruitful, I'll say that. But it was hilarious. I remember that now, the who's Dak. Who's the quarterback is how it went. And ultimately, Tyrod Taylor won that job. But we would have stock every day.
Speaking of Tyrod Taylor, I saw a kid in a Tyrod Taylor jersey the other day.
You did?
Yeah, I was driving. It was draft day. It was,
wow.
I was driving home, and there was a guy walking down the street with his kid, and his kid had a number 5 jersey on the front. I saw the front of it, and I was like, wow, Kyrie Elam jersey, that's okay. And then I saw like the back of it, and I was like, oh, Tyrod Taylor, that's real, because the kid was like younger, so I'm like he wouldn't know who Tyrod is, and maybe it's just an Elam jersey, but that's pretty wild. But yeah, Tyrod Taylor, still jerseys out there in the wild.
Yeah, and he's still playing. He's still on the Jets, right?
I think so, last I checked.
He's still playing. Tyrod won that job, 2015. It was the who's Dak. All right, so I want to ask you today. I threw this question out on Twitter, at Sal Sports. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Thank you for all the responses. I've already had a ton of them here. In fact, how many? I've had already 155 responses to this question, but I'm going to ask you, because you can call up. Maybe you're not on social media. You want to call up. You want to talk about it. Who's your favorite pick? Who's your least favorite pick? Who's your favorite pick from the Bills 2025 NFL draft and why? Who's your least favorite pick from the Bills 2025 NFL draft and why? A lot of you have already responded. Your favorite pick is Landon Jackson from Arkansas. Well, we will have Trey Biddy from hogsports.com, who covers Arkansas, come your way in 10 minutes from now. John Scott at 11 a.m., our buddy from WGRZ TV Channel 2, sports director, and also a guy who follows and is a fan of Ohio State football. So we can ask him about Jordan Hancock. So we got you covered today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's go to Dave in Hamburg, who's first up. Hi, Dave. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, I was just wondering, what do you think is going to happen week 7? You know, are we going to carry like Jordan Phillips, or, you know, when we get these guys back from suspension, you think Daquan Jones is in jeopardy getting cut after 7, you know?
No, anything could happen, Dave. Here's what I see, though, and what I would say, that by then, like, there's always guys that get a little nicked up. There's things that happen where there could be roster moves that you don't anticipate. I think it's way too far ahead. Like, if everyone stays healthy, then your question is really interesting and valid, where I don't know really what happens there, right? But I think generally, a lot of these times, Dave, this works out where, okay, there's a guy who's a little bit banged up, we'll put him on IR for 4 weeks, something like that. At this point, I can't see Daquan Jones getting cut unless he just is not good at all, because he's the starting one technique right now, and he probably is going to be. Unless someone comes in and you're like, hey, this guy can definitely handle it, I don't see that happening. Once week 2 gets here, by the way, Dave, just so you know, all vested veterans' salaries are guaranteed, so there's no point in cutting a guy like that, if that makes sense.
No. Okay.
All right. Yeah, you got it, buddy. That's a long way between now and then, but it's a valid question if everybody stays healthy, for sure. My man Butch on the east side. What's up, buddy?
My brother. I love you. Love WGR. Love MSG. And to all the fans who listen and watch.
Butch, well, listen, somebody tweeted me last week after you called, or 2 weeks ago, and said, tell your brother-in-law whatever, whatever. And I had to explain to them, you weren't actually my brother-in-law. But I love the fact that people think that we are actually related, to be honest with you.
That's a good one. Whoever that person is, I love you even more, my friend. But listen, Sam, I'm going to get right to it. I really, on paper only, I really believe this is the best draft that Brandon Bean and One Bills Drive have had since they've been there. I know we have had players like Josh Allen, et cetera, that we done got off other drafts, but I'm talking about across the board. I can really see each player where they're going to fit. I was just telling my friend who answered the phone that I can see the competition coming in Rochester this year. No one, I'm let you know. I mean, people are going to disagree with me. That's fine. I respect everybody's opinion, but with the exception of Josh Allen and a few starters, is guaranteed to be on this roster. I really see some veterans that's going to be moved off the table off this draft, and some of the players of the undrafted free agents. It's going to be 3 undrafted free agents, like the kid Kelly from Mississippi State, the wide receiver, the big kid wide receiver from Baylor, and the cornerback from Miami. I really see those 3 pushing up, along with this draft class, pushing some of these veterans. If they don't push them out the door, they're going to push them to be better, which is good competition. Iron sharpens iron. So I want Brandon Bean and his staff to take a bow as a fan. And I love my team anyway. But I definitely see this draft as one of the best draft classes on paper that we've ever had. I love you, my brother, man. Kiss the queen. Give my nephew a high five. And I love you, my brother.
You got it, buddy. Love you too. Appreciate you. Got a lot of love over there for Butch. He's been calling a long time. Don't mind it. For sharing that here. He's my brother-in-law. Not really. Someone actually tweeted last week and said, tell your brother-in-law this. And I had to say, you know what? Somebody's probably never really listened and understood. Butch is not my brother-in-law. It's just the way he talks when he comes on, but it's great. And we appreciate him being so passionate, as well as you. 803-0550. Yeah, this is pretty funny. I'm going to tweet it out in the break. The Who's Dak. Who remembers the Who's Dak? I'm going to tweet it out with the hashtag so you can all click it. It's amazing. It is amazing looking back at it. We are in such a better spot here. Now, we're talking about wide receiver. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's real. It's real, right? Like that. Yeah, you're trying to win a Super Bowl now, and that's maybe even like more stressful than talking about who the starting quarterback is going to be week 1, because you know you're not going to be that good anyway. That might be more stressful to figure out, you know, how you're going to get over the hump and who's going to be wide receiver and if you need more. But I don't want to live that existence again in a football world. Wondering every week who the quarterback's going to be. We're a long way from that. We know this guy. Just signed over $300 million contract. Did you see Josh Allen's fiance, Haley Steinfeld, her movie she's in, Sinners, apparently, I read the other day, is on track to surpass grossing over $300 million. She's on track, that movie, to surpass Josh Allen's contract.
I wonder what that conversation's like. She's like, hey, how's the movie doing? You know what you're making? that movie just made that.
Pretty amazing. We'll take a timeout. Trey Biddy's going to join us next. Covers Arkansas football for hogsports.com. We'll learn about Landon Jackson and his opinion on any of the other SEC players the Bills drafted. Good Tuesday to you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you. Sal Capaccio on WGR. Did you check this Who's That stuff? Did you check it? It's pretty crazy, right?
It's awesome. It's amazing. This is like a time capsule.
I tweeted it out. It's hashtag Who's That, WHOSDAQ. Back in 2015, Jeremy White and Matt Collar kind of created it as who's going to be the Bills starting quarterback. They had all these guys, and we do stock updates every day. And then in 2018, they draft Josh Allen, and we kind of brought it back. It is a far, far better existence to be living today, wondering who the wide receivers are versus who the damn quarterback is, right? You got Josh Allen. It's amazing. Good stuff. Check it out at Sal Sports. In the meantime, let's head out right now to the Wester Hotline. I asked you, who's your favorite Bills draft pick from over the weekend? And a lot of you said exactly what I say. My favorite pick might be Landon Jackson of Arkansas, defensive end. I really like not only the floor, but maybe what the ceiling is for him. So I reached out to Trey Biddy. He is a writer at hogsports.com, also part of 103.7 The Buzz. He joins me on the Wester Hotline right now. Trey, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Thanks for doing this today.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. All right, so Landon Jackson, just from a surface level, what could you tell Buffalo Bills fans about his game and what he brings?
Well, first of all, I mean, the person, Landon Jackson, I mean, a great, great young man. I mean, the interviews that I've had with him, just the interactions, I have never had a single moment where I was just like, oh man, that guy's arrogant or that guy's, you know, doesn't show it. Just his attitude, the way he interacts with the team. First of all, he was always a leader around here on and off. So getting a great person, I think, first of all. Secondly, you know, 6'6", 270, great measurables, tested really well at the NFL combine. And in fact, one of the best showings, I guess, ever for a defensive end. Had a 40 and a half inch vertical jump, 10.9 broad jump. Some really impressive numbers, I think, that just kind of lend to what his potential could be moving forward. At Arkansas, multi-game star. I believe he started every game that he was available for. I mean, not the bowl game last year, obviously. A lot of guys opt out. But started every game the last 2 years. Originally transferred from LSU, was a top 100 prospect coming out of high school, but transferred from LSU and was just very productive. He had 6.5 sacks. He had 3.5 sacks in a game against Alabama at Alabama in 2023. Last year had 6.5 sacks. You know, he's a guy that shows, I think, surprising speed, but also, you know, a good bull rush. I mean, he can give it to you a lot of different ways.
I read that he gained 40 pounds once he got to Arkansas.
Yeah.
He's at 264. I think he's up to maybe 280 right now. I think we got either way, but he's in the 270 range, yeah, let's say. How does he hold up against on the edge against the run?
Yeah, so he played at about 280, mm-hmm, at Arkansas. I think he got down to like 264 for the combine. You,
okay,
know, guys want to run,
yep,
good 40s and all that kind of stuff. But he probably, his playing weight's probably around 280. But, yeah, I mean, he played well against the run. I think Arkansas overall had one of the better defensive lines it's had the last couple of years, and Jackson was a big part of that. I think they'll definitely miss him this year. But What was the first end of your question? You asked how he...
No, that's okay. How he held up against the run. I mean, at the NFL level, obviously, there's going to be guys that, you know, he's going to be taking on, you know, on the edge if he's going to be an edge setter, you know, and just kind of what his body type is for being able to do that, considering he's had to gain this weight.
Yeah, no question. I don't think stopping the run for a guy like Landon Jackson is an issue. Obviously, you're going to be challenged with great players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, he's also long. You know, he is built like, you know, long torso guy, long arms. He is built like a defensive end, like how you draw him up, literally. But no, that's not going to be an issue for him being stout against the run.
He has
the drive also.
He's kind of a clone of Greg Rousseau on the end for the Bills. Greg Rousseau is 6'7", 270, basically. They're the same guy.
Yeah, this is literally how they draw them up.
Yeah.
I mean, God didn't make a lot of people, you know, 6'6", 6'7", 280 pounds with fast twitch muscle fibers, but Landon's one of them.
And then on the pass rush, just a little bit more on that if you can. You know, just I know he had some numbers at Arkansas. How does he... What is his status or projection, I should say, at the next level to be able to get to the passer if they were to just put him in that role and say, you know, go get the quarterback?
Yeah, I think with further coaching, he'll just continue to improve. You know, he has really long arms. He does a good job of, you know, like getting one hand out and making it difficult for tackles to get to him. You know, he can make himself skinny. He can get inside. I just think with further development, because I remember him from when he was in high school and just seeing the progress he made from being tall and lanky to what he became at Arkansas. You know, I know he also has the drive to succeed. So, you know, you mentioned him putting on 40 pounds. He had an ankle injury at LSU before transferring to Arkansas. He played there as a true freshman. But he had an ankle injury, and that was one of the reasons that he initially had dropped some weight, and then they had to put it back on him.
Why did he transfer? This is a question now that obviously NFL executives ask a lot of these guys because there's so many of them who do transfer, and there could be a lot of reasons. Why did he transfer?
Yeah. So for those who are not familiar with the state, there's an area called Texarkana, which is – part in Texas, part in Arkansas. There's the Texarkana, Arkansas side, and Texarkana, Texas side. He was on Texarkana, Texas side. But Landon had a lot of friends, family, and a history at the University of Arkansas. When he was being recruited, Chad Morris was the coach, who may have been the worst SEC coach in SEC history, I guess. And that was a huge detriment to him coming to Arkansas. So he chose LSU. Fast forward, coaching change, and makes the decision to go to Arkansas. So Arkansas was always the school that he originally wanted to go to. It's just a lack of confidence, I think, in the staff, which I can't blame him for.
Trey Biddy joining us here on the West Her Hotline. I know it might not matter to a lot of people. It does for me, a guy that's covered the NFL and all these different guys that come in sometimes, that Landon Jackson, he's already married in his life. He has a golden lap. What is it? A mini golden doodle is what it is.
Yeah.
He has. It just seems to me, when I take all that into, he seems like a really grounded individual. Going back to what you said a little bit earlier, how do you think a guy like that could just come right into an NFL locker room at guys with all stages of their lives?
Yeah, well, he's very mature, obviously.
Yep.
Married, I guess, last summer, mm-hmm. I believe. You know, to a beautiful girl. I mean, he nailed it. I think he's just, that just kind of shows that he is the kind of guy that knows, you know, what he wants and, you know, is a good person. And that to me is like, is so important. You know, we talk about these guys so much in terms of like what they can do for you on the field and stuff, but you know, character matters too. And character, if you have ability like Landon does, having the character to go along with it, I think just amplifies what he could be.
And, of course, it certainly matters for the Buffalo Bills. They like to say they bring in guys who have the Bills' DNA. Landon Jackson, their third-round pick, defensive end out of Arkansas. Trey, you watch a lot of SEC football. You have, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you can talk as much or as little about this as you want, but the Bills, their first four picks all came from the SEC. Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, TJ Sanders from South Carolina, Deion Walker from Kentucky. Anything you could say about any of those guys you remember watching or anything about their games?
I don't. Arkansas never played South Carolina or Kentucky this year, or the last couple few years. So they just have not come up on on the cycle for Arkansas. In fact, I think the last time Arkansas played Kentucky was 2019.
Wow.
Yeah, so unfortunately, yeah, I can't give you a whole lot of insight into those guys because, you know, I may have seen them, obviously, watching SEC games, but, you know, hadn't focused on them or done a breakdown of each player like I would have done had Arkansas played them.
But you do know generally, obviously, you can't really go wrong if you're trying to pick from the top of the SEC pool.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of talent in this region of the country.
Yep.
The SEC, although the Big Ten's closing, I guess they got 18 yeah. teams, but, you know, they closed the gap a little bit. But, you know, there's a reason that more players are drafted out of the SEC than any other conference and have been for a number of years.
Hey, before I let you go, what's the reaction been to the basketball season and John Calipari? We watch from afar Alabama here a little bit because Nate Oates, as you know, was at the University of Buffalo before he went to Alabama. And obviously that's a bit of a rivalry. But the season that Calipari had, where they went in the NCAA tournament, what's been the reaction there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was such a roller coaster because they started off so slow. It's 0-5 in SEC play. You got Kentucky fans and everything that's put out. Hey, we told you it was going to be like this and all this kind of stuff. So that was, I think, very frustrating for Arkansas fans, especially knowing the amount of money that was spent on some of the transfer players and them not producing. And then things just started happening. You needed this guy. This guy got injured and this guy had to step up, and he did. And it just happened over and over and over again with one player after another until ultimately you had this cohesive unit that made it to the NCAA tournament, made a nice run to the Sweet 16, could have gone farther. Obviously, there was that game against Texas Tech easily could have gone a different way, and they made it to the Elite Eight. But fans are excited about John Calipari at Arkansas. Obviously, he's a legendary coach. He does things his own way a little bit differently, but there's definitely a buzz about basketball at Arkansas and in the SEC. I mean, what this conference has done over the last several years, really since the implementation of the SEC network and Mike Schlab basically saying, hey, boost basketball, because there was a time where 2-3 teams were making it into the NCAA tournament out of this conference. The legion of coaches that have been hired over the years to lead these programs, it's incredible how far SEC basketball has come in the last decade plus.
Trey, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I know that you have your own duties over there on the radio, 103.7 The Buzz, and of course, Hog Sports. And everybody can find Trey on social media, on Twitter, at Trey, with a Y, at Trey Biddy. And if you have any more questions about Landon Jackson, that's where you can read up all about him and ask him. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it today.
Yeah, thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it. Yep, that is Trey Biddy. Really appreciate him coming on. We're going to have John Scott from here in Buffalo. Channel 2, WGRZ, TV2 Sports Director. And he is an Ohio State fan, so we can talk with him about Jordan Hancock. Jordan Hancock's a really interesting player. I mean, again, I don't want to go as far as say he's a Cam Lewis replacement, because, folks, I don't think the Bills are looking to replace Cam Lewis. But I do think what Jordan Hancock does, which we'll talk about with John Scott, and I'll ask him what he thinks, because he could take into account the whole Bills roster. The way I look at it is, now maybe Cam Lewis can become either a backup safety or a backup nickel corner and stay kind of in one of those roles, whereas Jordan Hancock could be the other role, right? I think you get flexibility back there with both of them. But that's Jordan Hancock. That's coming up at 11. That was Trey Biddy I just had on right now talking about Landon Jackson. Bill's rookie minicamp is in a week and a half. Not this weekend, but next weekend is Bill's rookie minicamp. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the roster and how it shapes up, getting your thoughts on your best, your favorite pick and your least favorite pick. I have asked that on Twitter, at Sal Sports. I'll read a couple of those, your favorite pick and your least favorite pick, and then we'll get to John Scott at 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, got a few minutes before we head to the top of the hour and get John Scott from Channel 2 on. Looking forward to that conversation. Pete is in Pennsylvania and gives us a call. Hi, Pete. You're on WGR.
What's up, Sal? Nice talking to you finally, man.
You too, man. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, man. I was a little upset yesterday, but I feel like you, man. People, as soon as being got off the phone, and all you heard was criticism from people at your station, and it's appalling. You know, this guy has done great work for us. You know, and the reason it bothers me is It's very hard when you grab something that's not good and turn it into something good. And it's even more difficult to keep it good. And it's sort of what I do in business. So I understand the frustration sometimes when you keep hearing, oh, we want this, we want this, we want this. Yeah, he is right. The guys that he's talking to play fantasy football. They don't play real football. They probably never played real football.
But I think that's I want to defend him 1 second here, okay? Because I think that is also that's a bit condescending to say. We all have our own ways of analyzing a football team. That's what we do here, right? It's not just about that. I get it. I mean, I don't know, but I think that's, to me, a little bit going too far to say it like that.
Yes, you know what? You're right. Maybe he was out of line.
But I've never played ice hockey, but I think it's okay for me to talk about the Buffalo Sabres.
No, I totally agree with you, Sal. But if you're going to tell me that all of the gentlemen that work with you, who are a lot more educated than I am in journalism, don't see that drafting a wide receiver in the second or third or fourth round is not as beneficial as securing a defense who's been a friggin' leaking water for the last 2-3 years, they're blind. And I think they're giving misinformation to the Bills fans in Buffalo about what's going on with the team.
But again, I'll go back to, Pete, that's your opinion, and everybody's entitled to it. And I'll be honest with you, I've heard from just as many Bills fans who disagree with you. And it's a great discussion. I think that's why we're here today, like to bring it. Like, not everyone agrees with what you're saying, and I don't think that makes people stupid or blind.
No, I never will call someone stupid or blind, sir.
You just did. You said they were blind and they were bringing misinformation.
Well, okay, sir. I will still, please respect your opinion, respect mine. I will take the guy that has, in the business world or any world, experience and has done it over people like me and you who talk about it. We can have.
I say the same thing. It's why I said earlier. Yep. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
That's okay, sir. His opinions have consequences. Mm-hmm. Ours do not. We could change our mind tomorrow, and it's okay. If he changes his mind, he hears crap former. And I just think he got frustrated, man, from here.
Listen, I'm with you on that. I said when I opened the show today that, you know, if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. If Brandon Bean's wrong, it matters, right? If these guys, and that's why, to me, one of the biggest criticisms is, I get this all the time, right? People, what do they say all the time? Oh my God, all you do is defend the team. It's not. I might not go out there with guns a-blazing and be Stephen A. Smith hot take. I also don't come on here and tell you how great everything is all the time. But what I try to do is to analyze why the team does stuff, right? Because who cares if Sal Capaccio likes a pick or not? What matters is if it works or not from Brandon Bean, right?
Al, but here's the difference. What you just said makes, basically, in my opinion, differentiates you from other people. You're like me. I will tell you right now, and you can write this and say it, I don't think our system of defense is going to win us a championship. You know, people, that's the only thing, the pushback I have is, well, everyone complains, well, we don't have higher employer. We had higher employer, we got blown out in Kansas City. It's not the players, it's the system. And I hope that McDermott, and I believe that he's a very smart man, changes the philosophy where, hey, man, we have to figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
And they have to do something. I'd rather see them do something and fail than repetitively try that same system where, dude, we just can't win the big game.
Yeah, so I'm not
a Bills defender, but please.
Yeah. I think a lot of the draft picks kind of represent that, right? I think that what they've done this offseason in a way represents. It's been a bit of an overhaul at corner. It's been a bit of an overhaul, you know, at the defensive line. We'll see if anything changes with the system. They started to play a little bit more man-to-man. Pete, I got to run. It was a great discussion. I appreciate your call, buddy.
Thank you, my friend. Take care, brother.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. All right, we'll take a timeout here. John Scott, WGRZ TV Channel 2, going to join us here in a minute. We'll talk Bills draft. We'll ask him about wide receiver, what he thinks. And then, of course, Jordan Hancock, who played for the Ohio State Buckeyes. John follows them. We'll get his thoughts here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.